It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Don't forget, follow me on all the social channels, the Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. I need to be a bit more active. I've been slacking a little bit lately, just so much. And I'm kind of in Dante mood from Clerks right now. So I kind of feel like I'm not even supposed to be here today because I should be in Florida. I'm not, but I should be. I'm still home. I should be gearing up to run a half marathon tomorrow. Instead, a few different factors have played that not to be the case. I'm not doing it. Obviously, I'm home and I'm missing it. I'm seeing the pictures on social media of people there. And I'm just like, man, I should have went anyway. But I'm eyeing a March run now. There's one in January that I'd still like to do. I just don't think I could do both, January and March. So I'm eyeing this thing they've got coming up in March. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully everything will align for that. Let's jump right into the geek news. We actually got a ton of Star Wars news to get to a little bit later on. Some of it sounds really exciting, but we'll start with DC. Kind of a light week in the world of DC. Not a whole lot going on as far as news, rumors, sneak peeks. The producer for Black Adam was doing an interview. He was chatting a little bit, and he says Black Adam, the film, has a high kill count, which should excite fans because that means we're not getting a watered-down version of Black Adam, which even that first look at DC fandom kind of indicated, you know, this wasn't going to be, it's Black Adam, but not really. It's just like a friendly Black Adam. Not the case. And it's exciting to see that they're sticking so closely to kind of the character on this one. And I find, probably take heat for this statement, but I think DC does a better job of that overall than Marvel, in all honesty. I think, you know, most of DC's movies have fit the tone of the character. You could make some arguments about Superman, obviously, not being the Superman that we all kind of know and love, but they haven't taken any serious characters and turned them into jokes or anything like that. So maybe DC has done a better job being true to the version of the character. The quality of the film, you can argue it, right? I would definitely argue that I've enjoyed damn near every DC movie, but I know some people haven't. So, you know, that's an argument you could have. But as far as kind of honesty to the character and tone of film, I think maybe overall DC has done a bit of a better job of that. The Green Lantern show was one of the surprise missing pieces from DC fandom. I really thought we would get something at DC fandom this year talking about that HBO Max series based on the Green Lanterns, but we haven't really gotten anything. They've done some casting, but we haven't really heard much as far as how production's going. Now stories are coming out that the show is going to be darker in tone than expected. And I hope when they say that, it's to match different characters, because not every lantern is dark. Some of them definitely have dark characteristics or dark stories. And I know Sinestro is going to be a Green Lantern in this. Of course, his story does get dark when he succumbs to the Yellow Lantern energy and that type of thing. So it all depends on what story they're telling. But like, I know Guy Gardner's part of the series. I never think of Guy Gardner as a dark character. He's an asshole character, and that's why some people love him. He's probably my least favorite Lantern, in all honesty. But I still want to see him, and I want to see him portrayed correctly, not just some dark, moping character. That's not Guy Gardner. So, you know, I'm hopeful that when they say this is darker than expected, it's not going to be an overarching thing and a depressing show, because that's not how I picture the Lanterns. Maybe darker than expected because it takes place in space. That's what I'm hoping. Not sad news, he's doing okay, but bummer news. Jason Momoa tested positive for COVID, so they've had to kind of work around shooting Aquaman 2. No word yet on whether or not this is going to delay the film, but they did have a very tight filming window. They were cramming a lot into a small period of time for the Aquaman shoot. So hopefully this doesn't affect the final product. And the real good news is that Jason is doing okay. Apparently his case of COVID, you know, didn't really knock him down. He said he wasn't feeling well, wanted some healing vibes, but people associated with the film said that he was doing all right. So that's good. And hopefully by the time this is even out, he's recovered, but if not, a speedy recovery for Jason Momoa. Let's switch over to Marvel. They dropped a trailer. Well, Sony dropped a trailer this week that's Marvel related, and we'll get to that in a second. First, though, let's talk about The Eternals, the big new Marvel movie that's out everywhere, and it's projected to do okay this weekend. About $75 million box office is what they're projecting. We'll see if it hits that projection. The reviews have not been great, I will say that. But I will also always say never, ever, ever go by reviews. Do not go by Rotten Tomatoes. It's just, there's so many movies that have great ratings on Rotten Tomatoes that I've seen and I don't like, and I know other people that don't like them, but some people like them. It's such an individual thing, movies. If you saw an ad for The Eternals, whether it was a preview or TV spot or whatever, and you're like, that looks good, I'd like to go see that, don't then go to Google and Google Eternals reviews and if you see bad reviews, go, well, now I'm not going. Just go. If it piqued your interest, it's worth going to see. I have seen a couple people online say Marvel has finally made a DC movie. So that might dissuade some people. That was one of the things that caught my attention about it when I saw the first trailers. So I was like, oh, fuck. They're making an earnest superhero film here that looks a little bit more realistic as far as the tones and the palette, color palette. And it doesn't look as jokey, but they still were trying to shoehorn in some jokes. But I'm excited to see The Eternals. I think it looks really cool, different for Marvel. And that's, to me, the biggest thing. I just want to see Marvel do different things. They can, and I think they should. So we shall see. Some of the Eternals characters are already popping up at Disneyland on Avengers Campus. So that's kind of cool. They obviously had that ready to roll right away. So good on Disney and Marvel for being so in sync there. This one touches on Marvel because the guy stars in a Marvel movie. So I kind of shoehorned it in here. But I wanted to comment on it. Chris Pratt, obviously, who plays Star-Lord, has been cast to voice Garfield in an upcoming Garfield movie. And you may remember Chris Pratt was recently cast to be the voice of Mario in a Super Mario Brothers movie. A couple things here. One, leave jobs for other people. Like, he's not, I say this as a guy sitting in in his apartment, but I don't even find Chris Pratt to be that good that he should be like, let's get him for every movie. He's not. He is the best and smartest agent in Hollywood because literally everything Chris Pratt does is a franchise film that would do the same box office whether he was in it or not. If someone else was Star-Lord, Guardians of the Galaxy still would have been a hit because everything else in that movie was awesome. And I'm not saying he was bad in it, but anybody else could have stepped into that. Jurassic World, same thing. Chris Pratt's not the star of that movie. The dinosaurs are. And then the same with Super Mario Brothers and Garfield. They're established properties. This is playing it safe in Hollywood. And it's not even a bad way to do it, but it's just, you know, when Chris Pratt has never opened a movie. You know what I mean? Like, you've never seen his name above a title of a character or something that you've never heard of. And it's done big box office. So his agent, brilliant. But I also just want other people to do these roles. Chris Pratt as Garfield, I don't think is going to work. I don't think he's sarcastic enough. Bill Murray was great as Garfield. He has that kind of deadpan, doesn't care attitude. And I don't get that from Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt's too, like, happy-go-lucky. It'd be like Seth Rogen being Garfield. It wouldn't work. Off the top of my head, I have no idea who I would cast as Garfield. Patton Oswalt might make a really great Garfield if he was game to do it. But yeah, I just don't see anybody that's kind of like got that shucks kind of attitude. That's not Garfield. And I know they're actors, but still, I can't see them getting there. I read a lot of Garfield growing up, okay? This touches me deeply. On to the trailer that was released this week for a Marvel flick in the Sony Spider-Verse that they're building over there. We finally got another look at Morbius. And I gotta say, it looks good. Overall, this trailer excited me. You know, Jared Leto's great. I am 100% on board with Release the Air Cut just so I can see more of his Joker. But his Morbius looks really good. The effects look good on his face. There are times he looks frightening. I loved damn near everything I saw about this trailer. Couple of things I didn't like. One, there is a sequence in the trailer where he flies in a subway tunnel. It looked shitty. Now, that can still be fixed. You know, they still have time before the release to tighten up some of the CGI. So maybe they wanted to show that and it might not be a finished effect yet. But my first take on seeing him, that sequence in the subway tunnel, is that it looked really bad. And they should tidy that up. I mean, it was almost Sonic level where, you know, it was like, that's what Sonic's going to look like. And then they fixed it, thank God. I'm hoping that Sony looks at that and goes, we need to tidy that up, because it did. It just didn't look good. Did not look good. The second thing that I didn't like about it, and this is a Marvel trope, and I'm sure you're probably sick of hearing me harp on this, but you've got this character that is a horror-based character. He's a vampire. So you have this, you know, scary, and up until this point in the trailer, relatively dark, ominous, horror trailer at the end of the day. It really felt more like a trailer for a horror movie until the last 30 seconds, or not even 30 seconds, the last 10 seconds. Had to crack a joke. Had to shoehorn in a joke, and a joke that made no sense. It was like him assaulting, some sort of bad guy, looked like a street thug type character, and he flashes kind of the Morbius face, and then he like quickly drops it and smiles like, Dr. Morbius here to help you. And it's like, if there's one thing that I will always hold against the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's the shoehorning in of jokes. And it seems like any movie now tries to do it. And it's almost like you can't end the trailer on something cool now. You have to end the trailer on a one-liner joke. And we just need to stop this. Because to me, it totally took me out of the trailer. I was on board. I was like, this looks good. Oh, flying, okay, a little weak, but you know what? You can fix that. I'm on board. Stupid shoehorned in joke. You ruined the whole mood of the trailer. Why? Why in the fuck do you need to do this? Just go, hey, guess what? This isn't a jokey character. It's a vampire. This is a horror movie superhero film. Enjoy. I know it seems like I'm asking for the moon here. It drove me nuts. That shoehorned in joke just drove me, because it seemed so out of place with the rest of the trailer. Just stop it. Stop it, companies. Leave us going, that looks cool, as opposed to trying to make us leave every trailer going, ha, 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 a one-liner. It's weak. Overall, trailer looked good. Last 10 seconds, weak. And fix the flying. On to Star Wars, because we got some really cool Star Wars rumors floating around out there, so we need to delve into these a little bit. First up, Disney Plus Day is coming up on November 12th. We're getting some cool movies being dropped on Disney Plus that day, but we're also supposedly, rumor has it, going to be getting sneak peeks at some upcoming Disney Plus stuff. And that includes, maybe, according to rumors, we may get a new look at Obi-Wan and Andor, which is a lot harder to say, Andor. But those are two of the bigger Disney Plus shows headed our way in the Star Wars world. And we haven't really seen anything from either of them yet. And Andor is way further along in filming. I think it's actually wrapped filming, if I remember correctly. So it would go without saying that on Disney Plus Day, maybe we get a full-on trailer for Andor and maybe like a sizzle reel behind-the-scenes thing for Obi-Wan just to help build up some excitement for it. Not that it needs it, but I just want to fucking see something from it. That's totally selfish on my part, but man, oh man, when it comes to anticipated Disney Plus shows, Obi-Wan is pretty much at the top of my list, right after the Book of Boba Fett, which we'll be talking about in a minute. So keep your eyes peeled on November 12th online for new trailers for things headed to Disney Plus, and hopefully some of that will be Star Wars content. Might even get a look at Season 2 of The Bad Batch. That's a possibility as well. So another Disney Plus show that is in development is called The Acolyte, and it's been probably the most mysterious of all of the shows in development because we didn't know too much about it. Basically, the only thing we knew is that it was going to be set during the High Republic, which is about 200 years before the Skywalker saga. Now it's saying that The Acolyte is actually going to mark the end of the High Republic and maybe this very pivotal moment in Star Wars lore where the High Republic falls and kind of the Sith rise into power. And it could be a very interesting and kind of dark time in the galaxy's history. So very interested to see what The Acolyte actually turns out being. But I'm also very excited that it takes place in a time that, you know, outside of video games and some stuff that they've done now in the High Republic franchise, like comic books and books, we haven't really visited. So really cool to visit kind of a time that we haven't yet. It's expected to go into production next year, so we probably won't see The Acolyte until 2023 at the earliest. And it's its very own standalone story. So something to definitely look forward to and keep your eyes open for would be The Acolyte. But again, it's going to be a while before we see anything from it. Another rumored show is popping up for Disney Plus, and it's another animated Star Wars show. This one, on paper, I'm excited, but when I actually sit down and think about it, I kind of go, what are you going to tell me? So there is a rumor floating around out there that Darth Maul may be getting his own animated series on Disney Plus. And like I say, on paper, I'm 100% on board for this. Darth Maul, one of the best characters in Star Wars. If you have not seen what they did with that character, like, he was just a badass in The Phantom Menace, right? You meet him, he's cool, he's got that double-bladed, like, who didn't lose their minds when we saw that in the trailer? When Maul was just holding the saber sideways and then, zzz, you know, and that other blade came out. It was like, oh, shit! I remember, like, that was a moment of chills in the theater. And then in traditional Lucas Star Wars fashion, if George Lucas has an issue, it's that he loves to kill cool characters very quickly. So we get Maul for The Phantom Menace. And if you're going, no, he doesn't have that thing. Maul gets killed in The Phantom Menace. Boba Fett, we meet Boba Fett, what, halfway through Empire at best? And he's killed at the beginning of Jedi. So he doesn't even last a full movie, really. Jabba the Hutt doesn't last very long. Qui-Gon Jinn gets killed. Or like, there's a long list of Star Wars characters that are really cool that don't last very long. And Maul was really near the top of that list with Boba Fett. But they did an amazing job between the Clone Wars animated show and Rebels of really fleshing out the Darth Maul story and getting a much more complex character. A guy that, you know, we meet as the Sith, you know, acolyte who, you know, obviously right there beneath Palpatine, and then obviously feels betrayed by Palpatine and goes his own route, becomes a criminal mastermind. The story that they told for Darth Maul, really, in my opinion, up until now, because we'll see where things go with, you know, like Book of Boba Fett and that, Darth Maul may be the most fleshed out character in the entire Star Wars lore. Like, he has a complete story arc. A lot of the, even like Vader kind of has holes in his story that we may get filled in a bit more. But yeah, so I love Darth Maul. So when I see this and I go, yes, give me Darth Maul. But then I think, well, what are you going to tell me? Because as I just said, they have fleshed out his story. I'm sure there's pockets of that story that you could go and fill in. But overall, I feel like they've kind of told the Maul story. So on paper, I'm excited about it, but I do have some hesitations. We'll see if it even happens, because right now it's a rumor. But yeah, and as I said, if you have not watched Rebels and the Clone Wars, do it just for Maul, if nothing else. And on to that other cool badass character that didn't even last a movie, Boba Fett. Of course, he made his return during The Mandalorian, and more excited I could not have been. And now coming up in December on the 29th, that's when they will start the series, The Book of Boba Fett. We get our first look at the trailer, and it was amazing. I watched the thing pretty much five times consecutively, like in a row, just trying to pick out different things. And it is a crime story. There's no other way about this. This is going to be a crime drama dealing with the underworld of a galaxy far, far away. I'm 100% on board for this. And I mentioned this in a previous podcast that I think they're trying to turn Boba Fett into the anti-hero of the Star Wars universe. We never really had one. Solo would have been the closest. Right, where, yeah, he's a bit of a scoundrel, but there's really only a moment of him doing something wrong, right? When he leaves as they're assaulting the Death Star in A New Hope, you're like, well, that was shitty of him. But then he comes back. He redeems himself in 20 minutes. And after that, he was still, like, playful, but he always did the right thing. So he wasn't really an anti-hero. We've never had that Punisher, Red Hood guy that does the right thing, but maybe in the wrong way, or sometimes just serves their own self-interest, whether it's the right thing to do or not. And I think that's where we're going to get Boba Fett. That's where he is going to lie in Star Wars, which is very exciting. And the show definitely kind of lays that out. The other interesting thing about the show is that it hints at the return of Crimson Dawn. Now, if you haven't been following the animated shows, Crimson Dawn did make an appearance in the Solo film. So if you didn't see that, you're definitely not down with Crimson Dawn. It was a criminal organization that was started by Darth Maul, basically. Or he took it over and led it for a while. And then eventually, Kira, who was Solo's love interest in the Solo film, she rises to take power of Crimson Dawn. So that maybe means Emilia Clarke could pop up in the Book of Boba Fett if we're at that stage of Crimson Dawn. It's hard to say, but I definitely saw some hints that Crimson Dawn will be a major factor in the Book of Boba Fett when it is finally released. So more excited I could not be. The only thing that I'm bummed about in one way and in another way I like it is we got this trailer so late. It's, you know, basically less than 2 months before the show premieres. So I'm not sure that we'll get another trailer, maybe at the beginning of December to help build up some hype for it. And the only reason why I say I'm bummed about it is just because I just want to see it. Again, totally selfish. Like it's an interesting marketing strategy. Maybe just give us one great trailer, get us excited, pump the fuck out of that trailer, and then you haven't given away the series. Could work out that way as well. But believe me, December 29th, I know what I'm doing. I'm watching The Book of Boba Fett. And if you haven't checked out the trailer yet, check it out. Scotty Mars Show on Facebook, at Scotty Mars on Twitter. It is worth a watch. And that will do it for this week's edition of the show. So until we chat again, have a great week.